Hey, everybody. Fantastic episode of The Morning Show today. We talk about the crypto pullback that has happened and what we are expecting next. We also talk about some of the NFT projects that are getting hype right now in the NFT ecosystem. We also dive into our predictions for 2024 and a little bit about asset-backed lending and borrowing in the NFT space, which is something that I am doing right now. I'm a lender. So if you want to learn a little bit about that, stick around till the end of the show. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you have a great weekend. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Friday, January 19th, last Nifty podcast of the week. Today, we're going to discuss crypto's dump and how it could actually play out from here. We're going to talk about the overnight Pizza Ninjas 3X. If you listened to the show yesterday, you heard Trevor Owens, the founder of Pizza Ninjas, the one of the hottest ordinals collections at this point, coming on to talk about it. We're also going to talk about the Quantum Cats Mint, and we're going to recap the massive week for Ethereum NFTs. So Clemente has something he wants to share about the Bodago's Discord and some trading that he did last night. What's going on, Clemente?
Real quick, I don't know if you guys have already claimed, but I remembered that the Frame L2, I believe, or L1 is going live on January 31st, and they did a little airdrop for their tokens before their mainnet goes live. So I pinned up a quick tweet. I claimed 950 of those tokens. Just a quick little admin for anyone that wants to maximize their airdrops. So I got a bone to pick with the Bodago's Discord, PO. I don't know if you saw what happened last night, but I minted my Bitcoin Ninja and I was excited. Love Trevor. I wasn't planning on trading it. I wanted to just hold it, but this thing ran up to my target price. It ran up to 0.12 Bitcoin, which is like almost $5,000.
Yeah.
So yeah, I go in. So I was like, if it hits this, I'm going to sell. Like, it's a lot of money. I sold it, and the entire Bodago's Discord just starts talking shit. They're like, oh, yo, Clemente's selling. He's selling for chicken tenders profits. Like, ha ha, dude.
$5,000 is chicken tenders. Wow, we got some.
We're talking smack. They were all holding these Bitcoin Ninjas and they were all talking shit to me. And then they go, they're like, dude, it's gonna be real funny when this thing's at 0.2 and we're all laughing at you, bro. Just wait till Asia wakes up. So they got me so fired up. I bought back in at 0.11.
What? Wow.
I bought back in and then it just dumps. I mean, as a dump, it dumped to like 0.09. That's like $2,000. And these guys were just talking shit the entire time. I'm pissed, frankly, because these guys were cell shaming the shit out of me. I bought back in, and then now they're like super quiet. They're like, not even bringing it up.
Dude, man, two things. One is you always sell your winners early.
He had the thesis. That was the worst part. He came in the chat. He goes, I'm going to sell at 0.12, 0.13. I'm going to wait and buy back in at 0.08, 0.09. He sells it at 0.12. He's like, clean 4X. I feel great. The kid is back. I might even pick up a pinto bean. The bean boy's making a return. He was gassed. All of a sudden, the entire Discord's tagging him, calling him Paperham Bitch Boy over and over and over for like a good 20 minutes. All of a sudden, he posts another Bitcoin Ninja at Pico Top. And he's like, y'all won. All right, let's send it to 0.2. Immediately it drops, like within seconds, and hits his buy target. And Clemente's just sitting there like, all right, guys, I think I'm gonna go to bed. This is fun.
And the worst part is, I wake up at 3 a.m. and I'm like, I wake up and I was like, oh shit, like I'm gonna check my phone to see what time it is. I unlock my phone and Bitcoin Ninjas, I see they dropped to 0.09. I couldn't sleep. I was sitting there for an hour tossing and turning, dude. And I'm like, I literally can't sleep. I just went to the gym, went to work out. I've been up since 3, dude.
Nick, what are we going to do with this guy? What are we going to do with this kid?
Couple. So I learned from this couple things. First, stick to your plan. Like I had a plan going into it and I literally called it perfectly. And it was just that I shouldn't have gone in the Discord and let those bag holders sway me. And secondly, when you know you're overinvested when it affects other aspects of your life. Like as soon as it starts affecting your sleep, dude, sell right, like you're overexposed. Get out.
So, I mean, you're still very much so up because what was the mint? 0.03 Bitcoins?
It's a 3X. So it's still up. I'm still holding mine. I thought it was funny. And that leads me to my next point. Shout out to today's Bodago of the day. 1-0. The only
legend.
Person, literally the only person, he's a portal whale Bodago. He's an OG. He's the only one that was in the chat that was like, you know what, Clemente, congratulations on the profits, dude. Keep crushing it. I'm proud of you. Don't buy back in. Stick to your guns. If only I listened to him. No one else is Bodago of the day, but 1-0. 1-0.
Oh, NFT 1-0.
Yeah. Yeah, so one of my favorite people in the Discord, an absolute OG, great attitude, great spirit, mature individual, not a not a spring chicken, and so he knows his way around the block. And love having him in there, love having his support. He proactively DM'd me a couple times in the past couple months as we've seen more and more success with Bodago's, just letting me know how happy he is for us. So really great guy, 1-0, shout out to 1-0 Bodago of the day. Nick, what's going on? Oh, go ahead.
So basically, the situation selling at 0.12. Well, at 0.12, you got a 2 ETH NFT right there, basically.
Yeah.
Which is a serious win. It is interesting. Some of us, like, you may be looking at like Node Monkeys or something like that. I don't think that that's a fair comparison, but you got, you know, Bitcoin Frogs at 0.147. You have, what happened to OMB? Well, like, what's OMB at? That's like
0.4.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, you were up there pretty high. And I think like on the relative basis, there's only so many projects that can be in the blue chip category of any blockchain. So right now we're seeing Pudgy has entered blue chip territory, which is and they're there with Bored Apes basically, and CryptoPunks, I guess, would be the other ones. So I guess OMB, Node Monkeys,
dude. Bitcoin Frogs is a 10,000 supply, 0.147.
That's pretty crazy.
That's nuts. Clemente texted me yesterday. I was in the middle of something. I just see that he texted me. He said, "You mint these ninjas, 0.1 Bitcoin floor. We're cooking with fire here, Big Chief. 0.12. That's when I knew something was going on.
And he didn't respond. But my thesis did play out where I was like, so these things minted out. We're going to get more supply for when these sell out and people get their pre-sales. I was a genius if I would have stuck to it, but I didn't. I sold the Pico top and then I rebought back in.
So I like my favorite collection probably is Node Monkeys. Or Node Monks. I don't know how you say it. Node Monkeys.
I think it's Node Monkeys, but yeah.
But I love the way that Trevor approached this. Yeah. Like that's the bottom line. His approach to building this out, it's not like he made a fortune on this. It feels like something. He doesn't drop a bunch of NFTs. He's not someone who's just trying to print cash on it. He tried to drop a reasonable amount. I saw his interview with Jonah, and that was like so insightful. I didn't understand the gaming integration, but when he was talking about it, about how I loved the concept of he basically used to collect Super Nintendo games. He said that basically a lot of those games disappear over time, like that they're not properly archived. In order to view them, you have to go to stores in order to play them. And the idea of having these emulator-based versions of the games that are minted on chain and stored on chain is really interesting. Now, I don't know how ordinals, excuse me, I know you can embed JavaScript on them, but are those like on-chain embedded? And if so, if the answer to that is yes, that's freaking awesome. Like the way, like the fact that that's persisted pretty much forever, unless the nodes obviously go down, in which case you have it just locked away on a device that you can't interact with. But because I was thinking about that also yesterday, I was like, theoretically, the governments could collude and be like, we're going to shut down all the server farms that are minting Bitcoin. Like that is the action that could be taken
in one jurisdiction, right? Like the United States of America. the entire country, we could literally ban Bitcoin mining like China did in 2020.
Yeah, so you could, but if there was collusion, an international sort of thing, mm-hmm. where yep. like these large countries work together, where including like, I think like Greenland is a place where you get like a ton of cheap energy. Yep. And
your mind's maybe in the right place. There's a lot of action in Africa actually now. And we had someone on the Bitcoin show that was talking about their initiatives there. It's really interesting stuff happening in Africa. All the mining energy would end up going to El Salvador. El Salvador would just become, with their geothermal energy, I think Nayib Bukele is kind of like, yeah, ban it. Let's send us your hash rate, you know, your hash. So yeah.
What percentage of their energy, like domestically, is actually comes from the geothermal side of things?
I mean, I don't know that information off the top of my head, but geothermal
is six.
We just throw around. We're like, no, the geothermal energy. You always discuss that when it comes to El Salvador, and El Salvador.
I like that. I like that pronunciation.
But we have no contextual information on like what percentage of their power actually comes from that. But anyways, that was quite a transition off of dude. I brought in we got it to geothermal energy from Pizza Ninjas.
It's 25% of the country's total electricity production.
20%?
25.
I mean, that's a decent amount, but where's the rest coming from? Oil?
It's not enough to harm. It's not going to eat the entire Bitcoin network. Just every, like, all mining is now in El Salvador. Wouldn't work that way. No.
It would suddenly become criminal. I saw some other tweet about this. God, what a tangent, man. This is ADHD in full effect here. The last comment on this is, I saw someone, there was a tweet that was like, a study was done and 0.1% of Bitcoin transactions went to wallets with known criminal activity or something like that. Mm-hmm. It is a weird stat. It is kind of a weird stat because like what percentage of wallets are involved in tax evasion? You don't know. I feel like it's not
what percentage of pants pockets are involved in drug trafficking.
I don't know about
the pants pockets,
but I know how many, isn't it some ridiculous percentage of dollars have gone through, have traces of drugs on them?
Yeah. Much higher than I think you'd expect. Let's Google it.
It's like
92% of the bills were positive for cocaine.
92%?
Yeah. Dude, where are these stats coming from? They didn't test my dollar. I don't know. I don't know.
It's called sampling. That's statistics.
And yeah. And 94% was contaminated with fecal matter. Fun fact.
Anyway, to put a bow on it, shout out to Trevor. I sent Clemente.
That's why I leave a stack of cash on my desk, baby. I just like having that stack of cash. Hey, by the way, Clemente, here's your $100.
Heyo,
come and get it.
Come and get it. Come back to New York, your favorite place.
Nick, if you want to double down. I think this thing's going to 300K. If we want to go there.
Wow, a double or nothing?
What are we at?
I would exploit a gambling addict, Nick. I would exploit it.
I'm feeling hot.
20?
Double or nothing?
I would take this
300.
This is a gift from God, Nick.
Nick, you got to hammer this, dude.
Right now, there's
hammer it before he changes his mind.
Nick, you take this bet right now. Don't give him a second option.
A double or nothing.
300K?
Clemente, you just lit $100 on fire.
Hey, well, I think it goes over
literally lit $100 on fire.
I think it goes over 300K.
He literally just did his trade that he did with the Pizza Ninja again.
Hey, you know what? Again. No. Yeah, so yesterday I became part of the Ordinals community. I have an X-verse wallet, dude. I've been talking to some of the Bitcoin insiders. They've been telling me, they're like, hey, dude, we just placed a bet. We know a guy that's going. I met basically the Ordinals version of Spencer Ventures, and he's going in hard tomorrow on this quantum cat. Just get ready.
If I lose $200, that is like a non-significant, like not
it matters
amount of money.
It matters.
But
I'm just getting lit up in the comments.
Let's go double or nothing.
I like it. Anyway, last thing before we go to the weather report, big shout out to Trevor. I've been making content with Trevor for longer than I've been making content with anyone on this show. Got introduced to Trevor within 90 days of me being in the NFT space. Clemente's got this video pulled up 2 years ago, 525 views. Clemente, can we see the date on that?
Look at the energy. Look at the energy that everyone's bringing to that show.
What's the actual date? Expand the description, Clemente.
July 28th, 2021.
July 28th, 2021. So maybe a little bit longer than 100 days into the NFT space. But summer 2021, this is during the mid-cycle crypto bear market before the all-time high.
Of you throughout the show?
I was working a lot those days, man. I had a day job and I was doing this and doing that. And I was doing a lot at that time. Why don't we get into this weather report? Signal, ready to rock and roll?
Yeah, absolutely, folks. It's the last day of the week. It's Friday, January the 19th. That market volume is cooking. It is at 43 million. We are up 4x from just 90 days ago. We got Blur at 35 million, OpenSea at 6.7, and Solana touching 15. If we look at the market leaders on ETH, most of them are bleeding. We've left the green. We had a fantastic week, but we obviously need to cool off. Pudgies, they're down 9%. Apes, also down 4%. Sappy Seals, also down about 20%. We do have some winners, though. We've got Creeps, they're up to 2.75. Potatoes are also over 2 ETH. But over the last 24 hours, what are the top major stories? Well, firstly, crypto is once again in the red as well after chopping for almost a week. You got Bitcoin is down to 41,300 and is down a whooping 16% from its local high on the Bitcoin ETF trading debut. Ethereum also showing some relative strength, only down about 1%. Solana holding 94 and all the other alts like Say are down anywhere between 7 and 15%. So we're in the pullback stage. If we go over to Ordinals, we just talked about it. It was Trevor's Pizza Ninjas. They successfully minted out at 0.03 BTC each. And right out of the gate, they did a 4X, hitting 0.12 before pulling back to 0.08. Their collection recorded 1.8 million in trading volume, leading all the Ordinal collections in the last 24 hours. So to congrats to Trevor and the team over there. Over on Solana, the highly anticipated crypto undeads are finally revealed and the floor dumped. It went down to 7 Sol. As many said, they were pretty much, well, they were just underwhelmed by the pixel art. Despite this, Crypto Undeads recorded over 13 million in volume since minting out for 3 Sol each, and they've made almost 700K in royalties. And then lastly, the ex-United States President Donald Trump, he's gone multi-chain as they announced that collectors of the 100 Trump cards mugshot edition would get a one-of-one digital card that will also be minted as an ordinal and will be limited to 200 cards. Trump is just on it. He's just on it. The guy's on ordinals. While over 50% of Trump's mugshot collection has yet to sell out, his season one cards have also recorded a 2X in the last week. So they've hit almost 0.3, with many associating the recent pump to his overwhelming victory in the state of Iowa for the Republican seat, with the 2024 president election racing heating up. That is all for the weather report. We've hit politics, we've hit NFTs, we've hit crypto, we've hit everything. It is back to you folks in the studio.
Fantastic weather report as usual, Signal. Look, I did Polygon. We have a great relationship, great people over there at Polygon. I've done several drops on Polygon, great people over there. Now we're doing Bitcoin, okay? So Bitcoin, it's the greatest blockchain, just like I'm the greatest president. All right, sorry guys. Anyway, some updates from the Nifty Daily Digest.
Why didn't you finish? You should have run with the whole thing there. You aborted it. Also, shout out to RH Max, who gave us a tip on YouTube and tried to tell us exactly what to do right now. Literally said, right now, pull up a chart of Pulse Chain. The weekly looks incredible. RH Max, yeah, we're going to stop everything that we're doing. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to pull
Wrapped up. Wrapped Pulse DAI pair is crazy.
Dude, that's hilarious.
That's crazy. Wrapped Pulse DAI is so crazy.
He's got so much exposure to this random shit. He's like, yeah, I'll throw $5 at these guys. Anything to try to get a pump here. Honestly, if you want us to talk about your assets that you have huge bags of, give us a tip. We'll probably end up shitting on them, but it's okay. Give us a tip and look at it.
We can talk about Richard Hart. Shout out Pulse Chain. I think weekly probably does look great, but if you pull up the all time, I think it's only down.
One thing I will say, Pio, is you know we are in a bull market when every time the Nifty Portal account tweets now, we get tweet rated from people trying to shill shit coins at us. Like last night, someone was trying to shill Mickey coin. And it got 34 likes, 9 comments, 21 retweets from me saying, hey, set your reminder for the show.
Man, what crypto
tweet rated. What does that mean?
Like they comment on something and then they go in the Discord saying, hey, go blow this tweet response up to get them to notice.
Nick, like rated, like R-A-I-D.
Oh, R-A-I-D. Rated.
Yeah. Remember when we would get raided? Yeah.
Dude, Pudgy Penguin used to do raids when they were under previous ownership. That was definitely an initiative. And really what they were doing was shitting on Bored Apes. It is interesting. The drama has returned between Bored Apes and Pudgy Penguins on Twitter. It feels like a beef, basically, that's going on here. And I think Bored Ape holders are feeling a little bit frustrated. Bunny, what's your emotional state right now? Are you feeling? I saw you write a tweet to try and say, "Hey, I'm rooting for the Pudgy Penguins. I'm rooting for some of these other teams." But
oh yeah, I was lying for engagement.
Okay, so you hate Pudgy Penguins? Is that? Do you feel the same way emotionally?
I wouldn't say I hate them. I'm just not rooting for them right now.
Well, Nick, have you heard what happens if Pudgies flip Apes?
Yeah, I don't want to even discuss it on the show just because it's so disgusting.
No. Bunny has to get a tattoo.
Oh, a tattoo.
Yeah, he has to get a tattoo, which the Pudgy Penguin community gets to decide where the tattoo is.
You got to go forehead.
Yeah, or
you got to do face.
No, I don't think we're going to go forehead.
I would cause him severe pain and go for the genitals, basically, is what I would aim for. I don't want to see it, but I just think that it's more of a pain and suffering sort of situation, which would be just awful. Oh my God. I'm in pain thinking about it to myself, but, creeps. I was going to say, I came up on that, weather report. Dude, I was throwing shade during the previous cycle and into the, bear market. I was, my biggest sort of take was, by and large, there's a rule that we could have followed, generally speaking, on our show, whereas if the person was dead set on remaining anonymous and not coming with their face on the show, you basically could short their project. Like that was the main thing.
Many examples where that proved to be the right mentality.
And Creeps was one of those projects where the founders just were dead set on being anonymous to a degree that made it feel like they were basically scammers. And then we'd have a flood of comments from the creeps. Like when you post about creeps, they post the that candle. Snake or whatever in the replies and the a candle. There you go. The everything that they end up posting there is just a bunch of responses. I'm impressed with how well they've done throughout this bear market and into the bull market. I had bought one, right? Didn't I buy one?
And you bought one sold it? Yeah, you bought it to like rally the whole community. You know, you would talk smack about the project, then you'd buy it. So people just they can't get mad. You know, you bought the thing, you know?
I'm still holding my Moonbird right now, which is a little tough, but you know, it's back above one ETH, so I'm only down like 0.3 ETH, which is Clemente knows what that's like. He's lost well more than that on his trades. Not willing to hold him, but yeah, I can't even find the creep that I purchased. Like, it doesn't even show up in the activity anymore. So I don't know.
It's because they migrated their contract. I tried to find it as number 4 on your rankings of worst purchases of all time that you've made in terms of trading losses, and I couldn't find the one they bought.
I guess OpenSea worked with them to like hide the contract and use the new one or something like that. Okay. Well, whatever the situation was, that's even more impressive. They did a contract migration. DGods hasn't even done that. They've instead just gone to a different chain, which is very effective, but they have not done a contract migration/upgrade. That's impressive. So I feel like Creeps throwing a little shade at D-Gods. That's crazy.
Okay, so it went from, so you're commending Creeps. I'll commend Creeps for running a tight ship, it seems. And then Nick is suggesting that there's beef that doesn't exist between Creeps and D-Gods. So there you go.
There's clearly beef, P.O. It's pretty clear that they've been talking smack about one another. I would love them to come on the show to squash that beef, because we do need more of those segments, Clemente. You should write that down, where we have the Maury Povich-style beef situation that happened. We did that with, what is that that you're holding? Is that a pencil?
Looks like chapstick.
Can you lift it up? Keep the camera. Lift it up.
Giant crayon.
What the hell is this?
Just keep going. Sorry, I distracted you. You were saying.
Anyway,
the beef did get a very good view. It was a spike in views both on YouTube and Twitter. And after the video describing the beef was our best performing video in terms of retention.
The last thing here is we do need some beef with some Anon people here. I'm really going after the Anon sort of class of people. They're just, look, we won't employ them. I posted that yesterday. That's very clear. And I'm fine with people using pseudonyms within the organization, but like there's people that like debate how they get paid because they genuinely do not want us knowing who they are. And it's like, yo, if you're not willing to show your face on an interview, on a call, you just can't work here. And the same thing goes if you're a founder of a project that's unwilling to show your face, it's just a little weird. I still think it's weird about Creeps that they're not willing, like that they're not out showing their face. Although a lot of people said, I remember people in the replies being like, well, people know who the founder is. They said the same thing about what's his name, who I claimed was the same as the
Voltura.
Voltura. They said, we know Voltura's background. He's been doxxed. No, he hasn't. The guy hasn't been doxxed. He's still in hiding, essentially disappeared for a period of time. And where is that guy? So like that guy full on scam basically at this point in time. And everyone's like, no, they're actively developing whatever. The character of the leader is something that I think is key. And if you're not willing to show yourself, just get the hell out of here.
So there you go.
If you're an Anon person, raise your hand.
Raise your hand, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, look, some updates from the Daily Digest. It's posted to X platform every morning and pinned up top. It's also emailed to anyone that subscribes at thenifty.com. First story, Solana Mobile announced that 30,000 Solana Saga 2s have been ordered in the first 30 hours. Easy, did you buy one?
I did not. I have not bought one. The other thing is, like, I don't know why I'd buy one. You know, I keep thinking about this. I'm like, you don't get the Saga Genesis token, which is what gives you all the airdrops. And this doesn't ship till 2025.
Did you see that?
$450.
Did you see that girl that burned her Saga in the microwave?
That was kind of dope.
So was that to promote a meme coin?
No, they ended up they have like a metaverse called Third Land, and they do drops in there, and they dropped a microwave Solana phone drop in it, and it sold out instantly. 3,000 supply. Honestly, dude, the video is hilarious. Like, if you watch it, it's pretty fucking funny.
I didn't watch it all the way through. I saw a girl holding phone in hand, and I got the point. She microwaved a phone.
That's like a video that crypto people like would really like. Like that one, the one where the founder of the coin smoked crack. That was another one that crypto people would really like. That these are just things that crypto people definitely like. Next story.
I'm just wondering, aside from cold hard cash, any reason why they're bringing out another phone so soon?
It's not really soon, because it's like they're doing this pre-order and it ships in 2025. So like, there's quite a substantial amount of time for this. Like, I don't even think it's been started to be like built or developed. Like, they're just gonna take another Android and slap the Solana operating system on it that they use, or Saga operating system. I forget what they call it. So I wouldn't buy this personally.
All right.
But well, no, considering MK did the worst phone award, it's difficult to buy.
He was wrong.
No airdrops.
Just plain and simple, he was wrong. This phone is incredible. It's made me $3,118 so far. So he can't tell me shit.
Okay. Well, I some people made 3,000, other people made 600. this literally marked the top of Bonk with the phone, because everyone then went in and sold all of them and the price went below. So I think I've made $800 off of this phone so far. But
what if this isn't a phone? That's the other thing to consider. Nowhere in the post does it say it's a phone. That's been like a leading thesis right now, is that something is dropping. Like, dude, what if they drop a pager?
That would be sick if we could put pagers.
Yeah, or like, because the thing is, a lot of people use this phone as like a ledger because of the fingerprint scan to get over like every confirmation. To do anything on the phone, it requires a fingerprint scan. But you notice, like, they say chapter two. They don't say it's a phone. Like, that is something to consider here. Like, what if they just throw a curveball and it's not a phone? It's like, it's something else.
It's also interesting to see the amount of sponsors that they got for this. They had Backpack, Tensor, Phantom, Magic Eden, Drip House, and whatever that is.
That's Soulflare wallet.
Soulflare.
Got it.
Okay. Well, I like your speculation here, and now it makes me want to buy.
I still wouldn't do that.
Well, it says ambitious vision, and then they show a picture of a phone.
But that's the first phone. They're talking about the ambitious vision of the first Solana saga. Like, if you actually read the copy.
Maybe they're making, did you see that device that came out at CES that isn't, it's like a phone with no screen?
Yes.
Or it's like, that you like speak to ChatGPT style? Yeah. I was like, this is going to get annoying as hell very quickly. Like,
did you see what else they rolled out? Was a case for the iPhone that gives it a full keyboard at the bottom?
Yeah, I saw that.
It basically turns it into a BlackBerry.
That's from them as well?
No, that was it was at CES. Oh, yeah. It was at CES.
The keyboard didn't look as strong as the original BlackBerry. The problem is we've now moved on to using like swipe keyboards at this point in time. So it's like, I don't want to go back to that. That thing does not look super rigid.
It looks like it'll break. Like, if you push too hard on something, it looks like it'll fall apart. Dude, CES was sick, though. Speaking of, the Apple Vision Pros go live in 24 minutes.
Real? Are you going to buy one of these?
I don't think so. There's 80,000 units. You have to have Face ID signed up in order to purchase. It's like the one main thing that they have.
Doesn't everyone with an iPhone basically have Face ID?
I haven't set mine up.
What?
I'm just like lazy. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, You know what, Easy? After... If everyone has seen you, everyone who gets murdered, they always open your phone by putting you dead, and then they open your phone with your mobile, and then that's how they nick everything. So I'm with you, Easy. I also don't use it. But
there's literally no good reason why I haven't. I just haven't. I also haven't set up Siri. I just haven't. I don't have an explanation. I'm just kind of lazy about it. But, oh, it's been live. Okay, my bad. It actually dropped a 9 then. So, oops, that's on me, Chief. That's on me. But people are thinking it's going to resell is like the big thing. I don't want this first one, though. I think like the next two or three out are going to be way cooler.
I like the resell ability here. If this is 80,000 of them only, but how much are they?
A lot. $3,000. It's got free returns, Nick. Risk-free.
It's $3,500 is the cheapest. 1 terabyte is $3,900. That's so crazy. It actually makes me want to buy it though, just to like, for the resale side, maybe worth it.
If but, you like, want to hold it for a long time, I think
it's already pushed back to March deliveries. So they'll probably sell way more than 80,000 units and just keep productions to figure it out.
So then it isn't limited supply. Is it or isn't it? Like,
was the thesis this morning, was that it was an 80K supply initially, but now I'm seeing people post that their deliveries in March, April, which to me is like, okay, so I guess this probably isn't limited anymore.
Dude, these theses over hardware to me is wild, dude. I'm actually going to say that I don't see them making, like, if they're going to make something other than a phone, Solana Mobile, that to me also feels a little wild. You got a limited team. That's focused on this, are they suddenly going to make a hard pivot away from phones? Like, what other device would they make?
I don't have a good answer for you. I literally have no idea. It's just a thesis. It's just what people have been posting, that this could be the situation.
All right. Well, we'll find out if buying these physical items ends up paying out over time. But moving on, next story, ex-NBA star Dwight Howard teases an Avalanche NFT collection, sending the AVAX community into a frenzy despite the previous history of athlete-related NFT collections. So we'll have to see if Dwight Howard is able to break the kind of historical problems that athlete-based NFT collections have had. Quantum Cats from Taproot Wizards will be revealing mint details today, including the price, date, mechanics, and more. And then last but not least, the Magic Eden CEO, Jack Liu, and the rest of the Magic Eden team teased that huge things, quote, huge things, are going to be coming on Monday and next week for the marketplace. Very interesting stuff. Huge things from Magic Eden. Now quickly becoming one of the top, if not the top, NFT marketplaces in crypto. Nick?
We already know what it is, but we can't say.
Anyway, so if you look at the NFT market in general, Bitcoin Ninja's hot yesterday. Crypto Undead's reveal cooled off a little bit. Easy, what do you think for the future of Crypto Undead's?
Nick, what do you think of the future for Crypto
Undead's? Zero. So I got some inside information coming from a reliable source this time. This is way more reliable than the source that our news team fetched last time over the what was the last news story?
Moonbird's acquisition, I believe.
Moonbird's acquisition that the team ended up. We're not going to talk about that. I spoke with somebody who said he's basically the founder is a shady fucking character, okay, that attacked his character basically and said he had spoken with somebody that I can't name names, but had brought someone on to do work essentially, then ghosted them and didn't want to pay anymore and just disappeared. And there were a couple of interactions beyond that that just indicated that this person, the character of this person is just a little bit questionable. And again, yet again, this is, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I trust this source primarily because of the correlation of Anon founders and the creation of projects. Like, remember Nakamigos? Everyone thought, like, the theme there was it was created by Beeple. Like, that was the theme that was going on there for a period of time. Beeple created Nakamigos. And that team has done, like, two things. I'll say it, they're holding a 0.14 floor still with 20,000 of them, which is
their trading wild. Cards that they dropped are at 0.35.
And they're mid-journey.
That's mid-journey. So crazy.
It's the most I've looked into it a lot, and I've been seeing the tweets from the community, and this Anon thing adds this level of mystery of these people think that they're being led on this magical journey, that everything that's dropped is so intentional. And they were like, look at Nakamigo trading card number 743. Look at the detail. You see that up there on the top left corner, how it has a small parachute.
That and then if you cross-reference it with Beeple's Everyday from 743, there was two airdrops falling from the sky. So you have to understand what's happening here. And in Beeple's 647, there was a Nakamigo, which was also used in the card. The theses are so terrible, dude.
And that's why I bought 15 more Nakamigos. Are you fading us too, Anon? Don't.
They're right.
It's so ridiculous, dude. The narratives that are created to pump everyone's bags in this space that is a core part of crypto, I will say, is that's a key thing. And there is the mystery element that is included with all of this that ends up, you know, being a catalyst. To be fair, dude, like the Crypto Undead's is still holding a pretty high floor for something where the art, I mean, it keeps dropping. It's at 6.67 at this moment in time. But it's like, dude, how long did they spend on this art? Like, this looks like you got a junior to intermediate pixel artist, basically, to throw this out. And it's just, I mean, I don't know. At least they created something. I will say they did release something, and that is something within the space, which is valuable. Release is almost more important than quality, because the community itself puts together its own narrative. So that's something that's absolutely key. But anyways, we'll say,
Nick, for this week, and basically, I think a big reason why the price is holding up is until Sunday. You have until Sunday to basically get a crypto undead to get your quote unquote day one status. So maybe after that, it will continue to dip. But that's something.
Where is the status? Where is that displayed?
It's a dollar tweet of this that you have until Sunday to get it. So I think after Sunday, you're going to be getting it if you hold one.
Wow. Okay. You're going to want that day one status. Remember that. It's a scam. Okay. This project is a scam. I'm just going to go out there and say it's a scam. I got so many people. I deleted the tweets because I felt bad, because it was like, I don't want it to be a regular thing with us attacking other projects. This is one that I feel really comfortable with.
Well, first of all, I love that statement from Nick, just kind of being like, you know, we've had issues with this sort of stuff in the past, but on this particular one, I actually feel really good about shitting on it. So hey, look, I wouldn't have it.
Does anyone on the show right now think that crypto undead, Bunny, you a big fan of crypto undeads?
I would probably wait for maybe a little bit more of a pullback. I don't know if I'd call it a full-fledged scam at this point, but yeah, I'm not buying at this price.
Wait, is there a price that you would buy it at?
Zero.
Well, Bunny playing, being very diplomatic. Bunny known to be, a political individual in the space. Very, very good at.
Hard, yeah.
I think Nick's doing a good enough job being polarizing for the both of us right now.
Regardless, in this space, especially when there's anonymous founders, like Nick pointed out, over the course of 9 months, 12 months, 15 months, 2 years, oftentimes it does turn out that, you know, it wasn't going to be the next huge thing that gets built for a half decade, right? So we'll have to see what happens, obviously. I like to just kind of defer these things for like 9 months out. I'll weigh in on this 9 months out, and then we can see how everybody feels about it and whether people are getting angry in the comments. Moving on, state of NFTs. Yesterday, Ethereum NFTs recorded $43 million in trading volume, which is over a 4x from what we saw 90 days ago. What this means some liquidity has returned to the Ethereum NFT market over the past 3 months. 90 days in crypto is a really, really long time, even if it doesn't feel like a long time. It's actually a very long time. So despite yesterday's pullback, in the last 7 days, Pudgy Penguins are up 60%. Little Pudgies are up 90%. Nick told me that he thinks Little Pudgies were going to outperform Big Pudgies. I wasn't so sure. Easy told me that Little Pudgies were going to outperform Big Pudgies. I wasn't so sure. Spencer told me that Little Pudgies were going to outperform Big Pudgies. I wasn't so sure. Glad I bought a bunch of Little Pudgies. Let's go. Next story. D-Gods and Mutants are up 17%. Captains are up 18%. Azuki is up 10%. So a lot of action in the market. It's very clear that NFTs are gaining liquidity again. Easy, we got Blast and Blur airdrops happening in the next 45 days. How do you think that the ETH NFT ecosystem plays out through those events?
I think it'll do really well. Blast right now, speculation is $4.40 a token in OTC right now. So pretty good price point on that, to be honest. Valuation, I think that puts that right in line with Spencer's at like a 10 bill. So people like that type of reward right now is going to be very nice. You have the Blur unlock happening in February. I forget what the exact date is, but February sometime. Blast is the more interesting side of this, because if it is a big liquidity injection, I think we see Pudgies go to 25. I think we see Azuki's break back above 10. I think Clemente's Pinto Beans go back over 1. Elementals will run. Just all these ones that have token speculation, we've now seen like a calming effect on the gaming tokens as of late, where now it's back to PFP tokens. And that's kind of the thing right now. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, Azuki's the really interesting one. You got Penguins and the Pudgy Penguins potentially having a token, which is what many people are speculating is causing this price run right now. But yeah, I think this is a pretty big liquidity event once Blur and Blast unlock.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we were talking about it with Spencer yesterday, but almost like the structure that's developing with NFTs is to trend towards a token. I'll be very interesting to see the long-term impact of this. I want to pay attention to like maybe meme coin, because I think that's an example. You know, ApeCoin's a tougher one because it was kind of like the first one to do this.
There's still many VC unlocks on that shit, dude. I don't even want to touch it. Like meme coin is fun because it's like mostly to the community, which I think is a better play. The other thing that's really interesting is like you look at Azuki here, and the way that they're potentially launching this anime token is through a third party, which I think is even more interesting, which is like a deflection of blame to an extent. If the token doesn't do well, it's almost like they can be like, well, it wasn't our token. You know, it's like we got to reward our community with this token, but it's also San Fran Tokyo, which is another one, and Animoca. So it's like this combination effort that I think is even more interesting.
Easy. I've been looking in and I've been doing a lot of research on the Azuki token and trying to maximize my airdrop for that. I started basically you go into a collector profile and I can pull it up and through accomplishing various things of like types of beans that you own and number of elementals, Azuki, etc., / how long you've been holding it for, you collect these emblems and these emblems give you points. I was trying to stack as many of those points as possible. And I've been like reaching out to different people and asking for their thoughts on it. Their take is that the anime token compared to other historical tokens that have been dropped through NFT projects, this is going to reward the longer term holders way more than the recent buyers. So I'm kind of standoffish now.
I don't know if I believe that, because what if a new buyer just starts sweeping everything to get all the badges? Like they're going to get rewarded, you know? So it's like a whales game could step in and they could just hit every badge. And now their collector profile is just absolutely flush with badges and they're just chilling. You know, like that's the tougher part for me. Like, yes, longevity should play a role in it, but at the same time, it's almost always a whales game. Cause it also drives like trading volume, because if you have a few of these floor traits, you can swap in and out of them to get other badges. I like the combos that they have. And I think it's a cool collector's move in my opinion.
Yeah, so I've
been... Wow, your collector's profile is flush with rewards, big hard, guy.
Dude, check out this thing I got. I got a Poap from...
You have two beans?
I got two beans, dude.
And neither one's a Pinta?
No, I just bought the floor ones. But yeah, it is interesting. The other thing I was looking at is like there's emblems basically. Like they give you like OG status, which is... Or like loyal member, basically. If you've held through... the trials and tribulations, they literally have given you a badge. If you've held through the dump, you get this badge or you get this emblem. So I don't know. It's hard for me. I've been like, to me, I've been pretty bullish on Beans and Nozuki / the anime token. I want exposure to it, but I'm thinking maybe it's better just to get a San Fran Tokyo pass and get exposure through that.
That's a little more interesting to me because it looks like the anime token's directly correlated with that, and it's Animoca backed. I mean, Animoca is backing everything in this space at this point, so basically just throw a dart at the wall and it's probably Animoca backed. But San Fran Tokyo has done a good job, and I think they were the ones that teased that collab with Cool Cats.
It's the Beans thing I noticed also in their cartoon that it seemed like they're trying to convert it into like a red pill. Was like that's what it appeared.
What do you mean?
Well, do you know what a red being red pilled is?
Yeah, like the Andrew Tate shit.
Yeah, but I think it has broader Matrix implications, basically from the Matrix. So the crypto refers to it in terms of having people, but it also applies a lot of I feel like right wing sort of
anti mainstream liberal media.
Okay, so there's a bunch of different like groups that sort of use this to just say, finally, this person gets it. It's join the cult is another way of saying it. See the truth is another way of saying it. And it seems like though the cartoon is sort of being parallel with that, because they have you walk through the gate by taking the bean, the red bean, and you walk through the gate and you're now in a different place. Which just to me represented and like walk through the portal, for example, and end up at the other place. You've taken the red pill. So
I like this. This is interesting. Then they had to chase the white rabbit, which was synonymous with doing cocaine in Vegas.
or getting disappointed with their drop was what that was about. Chase the white rabbit, run into a wall was what that was about. And but now they're back, dude. They've rebounded. They got a lot of cool things going on. The beans, I like those keychains that Clemente just pulled up on screen. The character is really interesting. They went simple for it. Their merch following this makes it really easy. Having something circular like this does make it simple. Like I've been just thinking, yeah. Anyways, the bottom line is, I think they're doing a great job with some of these characters and how they're approaching it.
I really like this one though. The Lion Friends drop, like this hooded bear thing, is sick. Like super I actually cool really like this. How tall is this? Out of curiosity.
That looks like 4 inches or something like that. Nope.
They got it in millimeters.
Oh, 8 inches.
No, it's millimeters.
Well, how many millimeters?
84? Yeah. Dude, us Americans have no idea what the hell that means. Like, give us inches.
It's 3.3 inches.
Okay.
I was going to say, on the token side of things, Clemente, on your point of them rewarding longevity of the collection, I kind of prefer the way that Apes did it, in that it didn't matter how long you held it. You could just jump in, buy it, and then you're part of the drop. I think, at least on Moonbirds, when they did the whole, like, you stake your bird, you hold it, and then when the token comes, those who held it longest will be rewarded. Like, a lot of people jumped on that, obviously got burnt on that. But if there's two ecosystems and two are dropping a token, one is awarding longevity and the other one isn't, I would definitely jump into Pudgies over Azuki at this point, because you can just buy a Pudgy. Well, I mean, obviously, you still got to drop, like, 18 ETH, but I will still get the same allocation as somebody who's held it potentially for, you know, the last 6 to 12 months. But I think that's a big selling point. If we're going into an environment where PFP projects are associated with the coin market, and you want to maximize return, you don't want to be sitting around having to go into projects where you didn't, like, you weren't part of it for the last 6 months, and you don't have a sort of badge of honor saying you were there for every dip.
I just want to shout out the comments. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to shout out all the commenters with the penis jokes. Really appreciate that. You can't say the size of a toy without it being compared to your junk. And everybody knows that I got the tiny one. So that's something that's really people are aware. So,
ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't already know, it was a known fact, Nick has a small penis. So Correct. Anyway, move... Moving on.
With that my whole life, Pia.
Moving on. So I want to actually, we're going to finish the show with this for about 15 minutes. We're going to talk about this crypto pullback. Okay. So we saw another crypto pullback in the market yesterday. Bitcoin down 2.5% to $41,300. Ethereum has showed relative strength, less than 1%. With alts that we watch like Solana and Say actually bleeding 6 to 10%. So Easy, you've been calling for this type of price action for the last week or so. If you kind of zoom out for a little bit, how do you see the next 60 to 90 days playing out?
We start back into up only mode, in my opinion. Like, I think right now, when I've been looking at the daily a lot, that's like the big one. We did break
that's
down.
That's what this, I got like, pulled uptrend. Up. That's,
yeah.
That's-
zoom out even more though. Like, I'm talking like, keep pulling that way more. Just make it smaller, much smaller.
Zoom out.
Yeah, keep going. We got a nice cup and handle here, right here. This is exactly what it is. Like, long enough timeline where we got a nice handle forming.
You said that.
Lower right too, here. And look what happened. And it broke out right there. Broke out. And now we got the same motion we got right here, dating back to the April 22nd price action. And now this is the handle forming.
Where does this handle pull back to?
Actually, right around your line. So, like,
73.
That 85 looks a little better to me. I don't know if we, like, I would like it to touch 80, but I think we could see 85, which on a daily timeline would line up about another week here, which is when Sig had asked last time, like, what my thoughts were. I said 7 to 14 days of, like, downward price action, if not chop, before we return up only.
You read that chart a lot differently than me, the gold chart.
Fine. We look at things differently, Nick. It's okay to have differing opinions.
No, but I just want it, like, when I started asking clarifying questions, you just couldn't answer it for me. And that's where I get a little bit concerned with where we talk about with these numbers. The stuff that I will say is the two guys who've been tweeting about the ETF, including James Seifert and I'm blanking on the other guy's name, they've been providing a lot of helpful context around the numbers when it comes to the Bitcoin ETF. They had said before, they said, hey, it's a three-dog race is the way that it happens. The rest of them won't play out.
Pull up my screen. I got my chart here, which I've had drawn for a few weeks now. It's literally playing out how I've had it drawn. Look at that handle action. I got us going down to 80. Looks nice.
Interesting. Looks
nice. And I've had this drawn. I've been posting it for the last, like, pre-ETF news was what I wanted. And it's oddly enough playing out into the exact handle, right into the 80 range, going back to here before we push back up into 180. I think we'll have a little bit more chop around this area, but that's kind of where I'm targeting.
150 was my next target.
And then another pullback to 150 is actually where I have it before we push back to all-time highs.
I like it, dude. This is very nice. Is the next leg up 1,000 from there?
I haven't gone that far. You know, I like to be a little more conservative. I'd love 1,000 personally.
Wait, can we see that chart again one more time? Because there's one thing I want to look at is the time frame that you have on there.
It's on the daily.
When do we get to the 180? Where's that on your line?
March 24, Bitcoin halving time.
So, okay. This is an interesting chart.
Yeah, Bitcoin halving, sell-off post halving into April, and then push back into right before summer session.
Well, easy call on it. Which means take mortgage your house, put all your money into Solana right now. Do not miss this pump. And all the other shit coins that everyone's talking about, shut your damn mouth and focus on the play that has always been here and present. We got Avalanche, we got Solana, we got Bitcoin. Feel like the big plays here. AVAX with a serious pullback. Jeez, it's at 33 right now. I think I may be down on that.
It's significantly more volatile than Solana.
I mean, way more. It's more of an alt than Solana. Like, it's what it gets grouped in with. Solana does more daily volume than AVAX. Like, it's just part of what happens. Like, when you go down those, like, this is even more further, like, when I look at things like Say and my Celestia bags, they're up and down 12% basically every fucking day at this point. So AVAX having more volatility than Sol is not surprising, but it also moves up more aggressively in an upswing. So it's like, that is kind of the risk you're taking here with risk reward. Like, if this goes down to 26 to 28 range, I wouldn't be surprised. And if anything, I would just buy more. Like, AVAX's thesis has not changed in the slightest. And that for me is why I'm like, AVAX, Solana, Cosmos ecosystem are where I'm placing my bets going into the halving and beyond.
I mean, I agree. I need to, dude, the stupid treasury bonds that I have is absolutely ridiculous. I have money locked up and it's preventing me from making big moves here. You know, big moves. That's
you
what
should
I'm
have
trying
done
to do.
4 weeks, but repeating reinvestment.
Probably should have done that. Well, the interest rate's not as high. I was picking the highest interest rate was what I went for. But yeah.
Easy. What do you make of, what do you make of Say? It's down 10% in the last 24 hours. Beanie tweeted that Say probably unexpectedly moonshots through $1 after shaking out the noodle-handed P words. I just bought a lot more.
Wow. He used the P word.
Yeah.
What do you say? Princesses?
Conviction. But this it was literally at an all-time high, and then it's dumped like 20% since in a matter of days.
Go out to the 1 month. It still looks great. Like, look at this 1 month chart, dude. This still looks good. It's still clearly in an uptrend. And even if we dip back to 50 cents, I'll just buy more. Like, the Say ecosystem to me feels like a winner long term. That's also why I'm bullish on Celestia. Like, I don't know why I'm going to try to fade something that's 4 months old when it's just inconsistent price discovery going into one of the most bullish like situations for all of crypto. So I'm not mad about this price action. Let it run. Let it work. I'm going to buy more.
Crypto people love things with small numbers and they love things that are only 4 months old, you know, and haven't gone through a cycle yet. A lot of interest there. I've been buying a little bit of Say. I don't know enough about it to really plow, but yeah, I mean, look, I'm liking the action here. I have a loan out on a Mad Lad that this is my first time doing the Mad Lad loan thing where I provide liquidity. Someone gives me the Mad Lad for, collateral. And I'm just going to be really interested to see how this plays out because it looks like it's in good shape. Like, basically, as long as the Mad Lad's floor doesn't crash, I'll either just make the interest of Sol or I'll get the Mad Lad if they default, but for like 20 Sol less than the floor. So we'll see.
What platform did you use for that?
Sharky.fi.
Look at Pio making some big moves here. How far Pio has come since 2021? How far?
It's gone from buying Bitcoin to providing leveraged loans on underlying illiquid crypto assets, and I could not be any more proud of him. I've talked to Pio about this. I love providing a loan on a Mad Lad here. Dude's going to make like $250 in a week on an asset that is from one of the strongest teams in Solana. Like this, or he gets a Mad Lad at a fraction of the current floor price.
So a couple things here. So first of all, I'm seeing commenters like, you know, get excited about this. Let me just say, well, first of all, fuck you, Nick. That's right off the top, because Nick's like over here trying to act like, you know, I've come a long way or something. So just F off, number one.
You used to not mess with any DeFi or anything else like that. You were primarily focused on Bitcoin. I feel like it is a growth transition of Pio making these moves. His NFT trade has been maybe one of the biggest winners of the panelists on this show. So I'm just saying that wasn't your character before. I'm just saying that wasn't what you were doing. So now you're making some of these experimental moves that are panning out, and so you're getting involved with that. So fuck you back. Okay.
let's compliment each other. Finish with an F. No, thank you, Nick. No, seriously, thank you. Well, last NFT cycle, I gambled on NFTs, like actual like gambling, right? Which I'm seeing Clemente literally do right now. So I'm watching Clemente just do that.
Oh, chill out, Big Chief. Keep going.
So I don't do that anymore. And I made the only investment I wanted to make that I didn't make that would have worked out is Blur, like I talked about. And I might still, I want to talk to Easy about what he thinks about the price action and stuff. It's very hard for me to understand price action on these random tokens. I knew I wanted to get into Blur. I just didn't have the liquidity to do it. What I was going to say, though, is about, Nick, you and me did DeFi last cycle. DeFi last cycle sucked. you just bridge your money there and you lose money every time. There was the one instance where Nick bridged his money, but he didn't turn it into the DeFi stuff. Like he got distracted by something and didn't do it. And then came back months later and he's like, oh, I never even did it. I did it. So all Nick lost was the fee to bridge. He didn't actually lose the extra value. I lost DeFi the extra
kingdoms.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So DeFi kingdoms. And then the other one was Ohm protocol.
Oh God. We both,
I lost 80% of my money on that trade, dude.
Those things are so dumb. It's not that I don't believe in quote DeFi. I don't believe in bullshit Ponzi schemes.
22,000% APY, dude. Like what the fuck are you doing?
I don't believe in bullshit Ponzi schemes, but actual DeFi, especially with Bitcoin, is actually going to be a very, very big thing in the future without question. Think about it. Let's say let's say in like 9 years, you know, my Bitcoin's worth, like call it $2 million, and I want to take out a loan for some property. I want to take out a down payment of $150,000 loan with the Bitcoin. Well, the LTV on that's actually going to be relatively compelling. And if Bitcoin's price is also stabilized, I mean, you're going to want to leverage your crypto assets, your really strong crypto assets like a Bitcoin or maybe a CryptoPunk, like a really high-end NFT, maybe a Fidenza, something like that, whatever ends up, you know, becoming the sort of standard in its category. And you're going to want to leverage those for loans for investments or purchases like a property or something like that. So I totally believe in that kind of DeFi. The reason I'm doing the Mad Lad, you know, NFT loan DeFi is because I think the lenders are in a way stronger position than the borrowers any way you spin it. And I am a Mad Lad holder, and I believe that Mad Lads will continue to go up this cycle or at least retain Solana value as Solana increases in value. So the worst case scenario here is I end up getting a Mad Lad, and I'm fine with that. You know, could it be a default where the Mad Lad floor pulls back and it would have been better for me to just buy the Mad Lad than do the loan? Yes, that's the kind of risk that you run. But if I have a belief that Mad Lads are going to go up anyway, then why not do it with Mad Lads? What I'll say is,
there's 30 SOL under the floor right now. If they default on that, you get $3,000. You forward it to a bid, you're looking at $2,500. If they don't default, you get $250. So like...
I got my hand on the throat of the borrower with this setup. It's really aggressive. You know what I mean? It really is. It's like aggressive. And you know what's even better is I don't do this with Bodagos, obviously, as a founder of the project.
How much
I'm not
going to put in for that.
My loan's at 144 SOL.
Wow.
Yeah, but a Mad Lad costs 164 SOL.
Okay.
So, you know what I mean? The risk would be if Mad Lads pull back to like 135, the dude just lets it. Yeah, there you go. Here you go. Tommy Andrade over here saying it. I don't know if he's Brazilian or Italian. I went with the Brazilian pronunciation. But anyway, what I was going to say is Bodogos, actually. Ellie, that's a good comment. Bodogos is appealing for loans, but I'm not going to do predatory loans with our project. I'm not going to shaft people that own Bodogos.
Maybe,
you know what I mean?
Actually, that's a great way for us to actually put some of that soul that we have back into this, lend it to people, and then we'll just buy into the, we'll just build up our portfolio. What's the liquidation price on these?
I think right now loans are at 4 on dogs and the floor is 5.2, something like that.
So what happens if the person doesn't repay? What do you get?
You get the dog.
Okay.
4. So you get the dog for a soul less than what it is.
Oh, this is quite a situation. Because this can actually push the floor price down of the actual project
very quickly.
I mean, this is how this stuff works, right? These are all the mechanics that go into making the market for an NFT. Somebody asked real quick. Somebody said, what if the borrower goes bankrupt? Then you get the collateral, the NFT. And if you like the NFT as in a Mad Lad, then you're not going to be that mad about it. If you end up taking a ton of risk and you just end up with an assload of Mad Lads that are underwater, like as in you would have been better off just buying them off the floor because the loans are 7 days. So think about it. If in that 7-day period, the floor crashes, that's where you get screwed. But I just did it with one. I'll probably re-up. We're going to have to see if the guy defaults. I actually, at this point, would prefer the person to default. Because if they default, then I get like 20 Solana, which is crazy. And I will sell the Mad Lad for the Solana and still build it up. Although I do want to acquire another Mad Lad. So maybe this is how I end up doing it. It's an interesting way to get into an NFT ecosystem for sure if you have the liquidity. And ultimately, in what situation? The only time a borrower had a better setup than a lender was when rates were at 0 during the COVID era and you got a mortgage for 2.5%. Like that's where the banks had, you know,
and it's only really fucked the entire housing market in this current situation because nobody wants to get out of those loans and no one wants to take a new one at 8%. So we're in a great situation, man. It's just absolutely delectable.
Dude, the housing market in Massachusetts is hot as hell. I have a friend looking to buy a house in Massachusetts. It's hot as anything. Literally, the house gets listed online on Thursday and offers are due the following Tuesday. And it closes every time with like 8 to 12 offers, literally. And sometimes if there's a bidding war, one of the people just flips to cash. They're like, nah, I'll just buy that 950K house in cash. No problem. It's wild. We've already seen we had Rahm on the show. And Ron was talking about real estate. He mentioned that it was a good time to buy. That was months ago. That was the bottom of the real estate market. The bottom of the real estate market in the United States was just that it was a stalemate. The prices didn't really go down, but there was less liquidity, but there were still sales happening. BlackRock bought single family homes. The currency is being debased. Houses are not going to go down in price at this point. I mean, I'd love to have someone like Rahm or like a real estate person, but at least in the hot areas, if you live in, I don't know, the Midwest in some random ass place, I can't speak to that. But if you live in a hot area, Westchester, New York, probably, well, Miami and Florida is a different situation, but you know, the desirable suburbs of Chicago, I have to imagine Los Angeles, basically anywhere besides where the homeless people are. Anyway, that's kind of the long and short of that. Nick,
before we wrap, Pio, what? So you lent out this Mad Lad. What is the interest rate that you're getting in return?
I lend Solana, and the collateral that the borrower provides is a Mad Lad.
It's like a 220% APY.
It's 180% APY for Mad Lads. It's 220% for Bodogos, which is why Bodogos are, it's compelling, but I'm not going to do that again because I'm not going to do that with our project.
You're more getting involved, okay? I'm about to move. Your boy's turning into a loan shark on SharkyFi. That's what's happening.
Well, the other thing is SharkyFi has points and a token dropping in the future. So it's like on top of it, there's all this farming opportunity for it.
Are you lending right now, Easy?
I have a Mad Lad loan out. I think I have 2 Klaino loans out. I've been lending for a while.
Klaino is the other one I was looking at that I'm very interested in because, again, if I end up with another Klainosaur, that's fine with me.
Like, and the floor price is up from where I lent to. So my loans are actually like even lower. One person already paid it back. What'd you say?
7 days.
Yeah, there's 7 and 14. So just lean for the 7-day. And what you want to do is provide the loan at the top. So you want to provide more collateral to try to get your loan taken sooner than later.
So if I'm basically sitting on, I'm a Klainosaur holder, right? And I'm like, hey, I want to take out this Solana to use it on X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. I take out and I get,
which is a good idea, by the way, Clemente. You definitely need to take out a loan against one of your volatile ass NFT assets. I think that's a good idea.
Hey, I'm trying to explain it for some of these listeners, some of the people that have been asking questions. So I own a Kalanosaur. It's at 35 SOL. I get basically 30 SOL in exchange. And in return, I provide collateral and a whatever percentage interest rate that is. I pay off the loan either before or by those 7 days. And if I don't, goodbye Kalanosaur. And I get to keep the whatever I got in return for it.
Right. But think about it like this. The loan that you took out against the Kalanosaur, the loan is less than what the Kalanosaur was worth. It's not 100%. Yeah. So for my Mad Lad's floor is 164. My loan's at 144.13. Do you know what I mean? So it's
a way better idea to be the lender.
Yeah. That's the way I'm thinking about it.
This seems better thing, to be honest.
If you take out a loan and SOL pumps 20% over 3 days, now you're up. You repay back the loan.
But your loan is denominated in SOL.
Yeah. Or you let it default and buy back, because when SOL pumps, NFTs typically pull back. So there's ways to navigate it where you can keep the Solana. It goes under the price that you got the loan out. Now you're sitting on the SOL, buy back in, and you have more Solana.
Yeah, people are pointing out there's risk on both sides. Of course there is. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, I was just going to say on that, people talking about risk. No, there isn't. This is just a free way to make money. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to move all of my Solana in here. A lot of people talk about staking Solana so they can make 7%. Those people are little bitches. What I do is I take all my money, I move it over into the DeFi hot wallet that I got set up, okay? I move that over. Sometimes I trade meme coins with it, but usually what I'm going to do moving forward is just give out loans on all these NFTs. Your boy's becoming a loan shark, okay? For the 2024 beginning of this bull run, I'm going to be known as Loan Shark Nick, okay? So
you I like that character. You're kind of making me actually, you're making my gears turn a little bit on that character, Loan Shark Nicky. Nikki two loans or something. I mean, my gears are turning a little bit. I might get to writing.
We're going to need a pawn shop person as well. Be like, we need to do pawn shop with NFTs coming in and be like, I'll buy that Mad Lab for 50 SOL.
The person's going to be like, but it's the only one in the collection that has a golden hat, this jacket. You got to give me 65.
Your loan's overdue. I'm going to break your thumbs. And the person, you just gave me a character that I'm going to write. Nikki two loans or something. We're going to figure it out. One person real quick said that they don't understand. You are lending capital, think of it as cash, but it's Solana, in exchange for someone putting up an NFT as collateral. Okay. But the loan amount is less than the NFT is worth. Okay. So if the NFT goes up in price, the borrower has his feet to the flames because he's incentivized to pay it off because he wants that NFT back. If the NFT goes down, then the lender is, at risk, quote. People just still bringing this stuff. I'm interrupting my stuff that might be able to get cut for clips. That's my bad. If the NFT goes down, then the borrower is at risk because then the lender or the borrower, excuse me, the lender's at risk.
Nobody
because the
wants
borrower,
to watch this short. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show Friday, January 19th. Hope everybody has a great weekend. If it's your first time listening, we do the show Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern time each and every week. It's available on Apple and Spotify podcasts if you want to share it, or anywhere you get your podcasts if you want to share it with people outside of the Twitter bubble. Also available on YouTube. I'm seeing a lot of viewers go from Twitter to YouTube, and our YouTube numbers are actually, our live YouTube audience is actually starting to flip the Twitter audience, which is fascinating. I'm seeing some of the faces that would normally be on Twitter commenting on the video. So it's always cool to see that. But wherever you want this content, make sure that you check it out anywhere. Nick?
The thing I was going to say is it's simple. It's a mortgage on your NFT. That's what the loan is. It's a mortgage on your NFT. Instead of a house, you're taking out a loan against your NFT. That's all that it is.
Yep. So, and instead of 30 years, it's an asset-backed loan.
2 weeks.
It's 1 week or 2 weeks, and it's an asset-backed loan. That's the difference. It's asset-backed. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, hope everyone has a great weekend. We'll be back next week. Hey, hopefully some fun and different content coming out in the next few weeks. Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, have a great weekend, everyone. Clemente, try not to gamble too much, and hope that the Ninja Ordinals go back.